So is there really such a thing as ex-gays? People who have literally changed their sexual orientation?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know, friends, that not only are states, like the state of Maryland, where many of you are listening to me right now, not only are states voting on marriage in this upcoming election, but in addition to that, the question of, can, quote, gays be fixed? Oh, those are offensive words, but they're not mine. That is even being raised in political ads put out by the Democratic Party. And I have with me a special guest that's going to help us sort out these difficult issues with compassion and with clarity. Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be on the air with you. Again, our hearts are joined with all those who are still suffering the effects of Hurricane Sandy and who could be suffering those effects for some time to come. All of you that would normally be listening on WMCA throughout New York and New Jersey and then out onto the island further with WLIX. Again, our hearts are joined together with you. If you're listening through other means as these stations are working, those that are down to get power back up, we are eager to be joined with you. Here's the number to call if you have a question for my guest, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I introduce Christopher Doyle to you, I just want to play the beginning of a really atrocious ad. It's to me, just abusive to the kids that sang it. We're the children of the future. It's a new ad by the Democratic Party. And not only does it have outrageous lines like, you know, as if the Republicans or Romney administration will be killing the polar bears, but listen to what it has to say right at the beginning. And these are kids singing these words.
Imagine an America where straight lines are fun and free, where gays can be fixed and sick people just die.
All right. Where gays can be fixed and sick people just die. And that's what would happen if Mitt Romney was elected. I mean, it's abusive to even have kids sing those words, aside from the falsehoods they sing. But is it possible? Is it possible for someone's sexual orientation to actually be changed? What does science say about this? What does the law say about this? My guest today will be joining me for the entire hour, and we're very happy to take your calls if you yourself are struggling with same-sex attraction, if you're convinced that it's impossible for someone to change their sexual orientation, if you have a family member struggling and you're wondering how to deal with these things, if you're a pastor or church leader trying to sort these issues out, it'll be a very important hour. We've got a lot of ground to cover. But Christopher Doyle holds an M.A., and as a resident clinical professional counselor with the International Healing Foundation and co-author of a critical evaluation of the report of the Task Force on Appropriate Therapeutic Responses to Sexual Orientation Resolutions. This will be published in the Journal of Human Sexuality, Volume 4, which is in press now. I'll explain the significance of this article. He specializes in working with young men who experience same-sex attraction and is the author of several resources on adolescent sexual health, and is concerned about the issue of bullying in our schools, and himself makes the claim that he is an ex-gay, that he went from homosexual to heterosexual, and is now happily married. I'm constantly told that such people do not even exist, and that they're simply paid staff members of ministries who cannot really tell the truth, otherwise they'd lose their salary. We're going to separate fact from fiction today and get to the heart of these questions. We'll be right back with my special guest, Christopher Doyle. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to set the record straight today, right here on The Line of Fire.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today, Christopher Doyle. Chris, again, is a resident clinical professional counselor with the International Healing Foundation. And he does believe that either through the power of the gospel or in his professional work, through counsel, through therapy, that people can have successful results in adjusting or even changing their sexual orientation. And there's a part of the country right now where such counseling and therapy is illegal for minors. Chris, thanks so much for taking time to join us on the broadcast today.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown, and happy Halloween.
Yeah, anything but happy Halloween.
Well, my kids will be happy. My 2 and 4-year-old are going to be happy in about a few hours once they get all that candy.
All right, yeah, well, candy if you can keep away from the witches and warlocks and the violent, demonic junk. And anyway, Chris, where are you located right now?
Well, I'm in the Washington, D.C. metro area. That's where I hold my practice for the International Healing Foundation. I see a lot of clients in that area.
And how long have you been active in this, Chris?
I've been doing this work, Dr. Brown, for about 3 years. Personally, as a former homosexual, I've been changed, for about 8 years now. Right around this time, I experienced my healing from same-sex attraction.
All right. Now, you just used a lot of terms that I'm totally at home with, but for many others are completely loaded. You made reference to being, quote, former homosexual. Then you made reference to healing of same-sex attractions and desires. So first, as you're well aware, we're constantly told there's no such thing as a former homosexual. There are people who repress their homosexuality, like someone who's left-handed using their right hand, and that same-sex attractions are perfectly healthy and fine and do not need healing. So why don't you address those two issues first, since you're speaking both from personal and professional experience?
Sure. Well, the fact that people can't change is nonsense. It's clearly documented in the scientific literature. And we also see through personal testimony, including myself, that people can and do change through a variety of methods, through therapy, through experiential experiences in life, that, which was actually in my case. I really didn't go through what you would call sexual reorientation therapy to change. Now, I did seek counseling to help heal some issues around sexual abuse, but most of my healing, what I would say, from same-sex actually came from forming healthy, non-sexual relationships with other men and really getting real and authentic with these men in my life and allowing them to love me in a way that I had never received love before. That was my experience. But many, many persons with this issue, and what I would say this issue, meaning unwanted same-sex attraction, different things work for them. And we address that in different ways in counseling. There's no one-size-fits-all, but we do see certain patterns that emerge among clients, and we think that certain things are helpful, and we address those in a specific systemized way.
All right, and of course, I want to probe, ask questions, and then get right to an important article that you wrote about legislation that could affect many in America. And Chris, I want you to feel free to speak as a professional counselor. In other words, you don't have to speak now as a gospel minister or say everything that would be politically correct in terms of Christian beliefs. In other words, your perspective is solely that of a professional counselor in terms of when we're looking at this academically, scientifically, practically. But you made the statement that not only anecdotally, knowing people who have changed and seeing success in your own practice, but that there are studies that document that change is possible. Anyone that would watch just casual media, maybe a report by Lisa Ling for Oprah's network or Dr. Drew, would have the impression that all scientific evidence says that no one ever changes, A, and that B, any change therapy is always harmful and should therefore be outlawed. How do you respond to those academic assertions?
Well, it's outrageous, because anyone who knows the real science behind this knows that for the last 100 years, there have been hundreds, Dr. Brown, hundreds of research articles and scientific peer-reviewed literature that show that people can and do change. Some people experience a tremendous amount of change. Some people experience a little bit of change. It just depends on the person, and I see that in my counseling office. Not everyone experiences the same thing. But what we do know is that if you look at one particular resource from the Journal of Human Sexuality, actually the same journal that's going to publish a report that I co-authored, in 2009 released a landmark research review called What Research Shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this document goes through the last 100 years and cites all of the scientific literature that shows that people can and do change. Usually, Dr. Brown, the critics of this report basically call it quack science. They attack essentially the messenger, and they don't really look at the research and what it says. And that's pretty much the typical activist talking points, is when you can't attack the actual science and what the research shows, attack the messenger. And that's their method.
All right, but Chris, we're told that there's a mountain of scientific, unbiased research that demonstrates, in fact, that such therapy is always harmful and never helps anyone. And someone just wrote me about it the other day and said, there's a mountain of scientific evidence pointing in that direction. Now, I know you're either smiling or shaking your head as you hear that, but I am playing the devil's advocate. Is there, in fact, a mountain of scientific and unbiased research pointing out the dangers of any type of change therapy?
Well, in reality, Dr. Brown, there are a couple of scientific articles based on anecdotal evidence, meaning evidence that has not been thoroughly calculated by scientific measures to show that people have been harmed by this type of therapy. Most of what is out there are people who have been unsuccessful in their therapeutic experience and have said that they have been harmed by receiving therapy for homosexual feelings. Let me also say that, to be fair, there are probably just as many, if not more, thousands of people who out there who have gone into therapy to receive treatment for a myriad of issues, such as depression,
right,
or anxiety,
mm-hmm,
and other therapeutic issues that haven't achieved success or the success that they wanted. And they don't really say that they're being harmed by the therapy. In reality, there is articles that have said that people, even people who haven't changed, have reported that going into therapy has actually been very helpful for them. Reduced suicidal thoughts, reduced thoughts of poor self-esteem, and have benefited. So all in all, the vast majority of studies out there show that people who go through any sort of therapy to help them resolve unwanted same-sex attractions actually benefit from it.
Right, so you're dealing with this in a holistic way. So even if someone comes in, doesn't change, you may help them sort out other issues they have in their lives. And look, let's be frank. The critics put the bar at a ridiculous height for people wanting change with same-sex attraction. Basically, you have to become 100% heterosexual 24/7. Anything less than that is not success. Whereas if someone that was struggling with depression is now not struggling with it so severely, or someone who was suicidal, maybe is kind of depressed but not suicidal anymore, that would be considered success in these other areas. And as you mentioned, I'm sure there are people that come in for counsel, therapy, for depression, and because it doesn't succeed, they get more depressed. And yet, change therapy is being unfairly singled out. Is this more of a political issue, Chris, than a scientific issue?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but what I think the fundamental problem here is that there's a misunderstanding of what is driving the homosexual feelings. What I'll just say is, for my clients and for myself, and when I say my clients, I mean my clients that have unwanted same-sex attraction, because I also have some clients that are gay-identified and don't want to change. They come to my office to work on other issues.
Right,
but
and that's clients, and just to jump in, that's why I said that you're free to speak as a professional counselor, because if that person comes in and says, I'm gay, but I'm suicidal, you're happy to help that person deal with suicidal issues, even if they're happy to be gay. So again,
absolutely
right. I want our listeners to understand that. So Chris is really coming from a position of dealing with a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds. But back to you.
Right. Thanks for adding that. And what I would say is, for my clients with unwanted same-sex attraction, it's the issues are not about sex or same-sex attraction. what we find is underlying the same-sex attractions are feelings of anxiety and depression, and underneath that are feelings of low self-worth and inferiority and core wounds that have led to these feelings of same-sex attraction over the course of years. So we're not really talking about, for these clients, and I personally myself, it's not about sex. The issues are not about sex. It's about all the underlying core wounds that are leading to the same-sex attractions.
Got it. All right. When we come back, we need to focus on very dangerous legislation that's passed in California, SB 1172. Some of you may have read Chris's article about what's happening in Christian Post. And if you're listening and struggling, questioning, or want to challenge me or Chris, feel free to call 866-348-7884.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast as we discuss issues of sexual orientation change and issues of, is this who we're made to be? Do people need to be healed of same-sex attraction? And now should we look at counseling, therapy, professional services, or Christian leaders that help minister to people with unwanted same-sex attraction? My guest, Christopher Doyle, if you have a question for him, 866-34-TRUTH, or go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. And Chris, if folks want to reach you, is there a website or way to contact you?
That's so funny you mentioned that. I was just about to mention our website. For more information on the International Healing Foundation, and we offer a number of services both for those with unwanted same-sex attractions as well as those who are gay-identified and seeking help, and I might add, families who are struggling with this issue. A lot of our work that we're doing right now is actually with moms and dads. We do healing retreats for them, and families that are struggling with this issue and how to reconcile with their children and learn how to love them more and help them if they want help. You can get all that information on our website at www.comingoutloved.com, comingoutloved.com.
Great. All right, thanks, and thanks for all that you do to help, Chris. One follow-up question, and then we need to get to the important subject of the California legislation that there's talk of introducing it in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey. But before we get to that, Chris, you mentioned some of the issues in terms of low self-esteem and other emotional internal issues that someone might have that might lead to same-sex attraction. Couldn't right. the argument be raised that the low self-esteem and the other issues are due to homophobia in society? And if we would simply embrace homosexuality as a healthy equivalent to heterosexuality, then all these problems would go away?
Well, sure, that argument can be made, and it has been made, but when we look at the at different countries, such as the Netherlands and other very gay affirmative countries in Europe, we see that the level of unhealthy behaviors such as suicide, alcohol, drug addiction, they're actually at higher or very similar rates as the United States, and these are very gay affirmative countries that have legalized same-sex marriage. So the argument that it's just an intolerant society that is causing the low self-esteem has pretty much been debunked. But let me go on one step further to say that it's not just the low self-esteem that's leading to same-sex attraction. We find in our clients that there are a number of typical characteristics that are leading to same-sex attraction. Number one, there is a lack of attachment to the same-gender parent and same-gender peers. And then number two, oftentimes there is an over-attachment to the opposite gender parent, whereas the person is often internalizing, if it's a guy, their mother's sense of femininity, and if it's a woman, their father's sense of masculinity. So it's a detachment from their own gender is what we often see. And then you add in...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And then you add in a very important aspect, which is the person's temperament. every single person that comes in my counseling office has a very sensitive temperament. To me, this is the only biological influence of same-sex attraction. It's at the foundation that a person with a sensitive temperament often perceives the world harshly and is more susceptible to these types of wounds in early childhood and adolescence.
Right, so if there's a genetic component, it would be to a child being especially sensitive, perhaps a boy that is not going to be as macho as his football player dad, which could then lead to potential bonding issues, potential judging other kids. Other kids look at him funny. He might relate more to his his sister who's into art. And before you know it, with the right circle of influences, there could be confusion about sexuality, but it's a much larger issue. And
correct.
In fact, let me just stay here. We've got plenty of time to continue to talk about the issues of legislation. But it seems that the psychological profession recognizes that human beings are complex and that there are all kinds of things that factor into who we are ultimately. And yet it seems that when we try to analyze this in terms of same-sex attraction, that it's somehow off limits. Why is that?
Well, I think that it has to do in large part with the politicization of the subject. It's amazing, Dr. Brown, you know, the characteristics of my clients are so typical. Almost every single 99% of the guys that I see have the same five or six characteristics that lead to SSA. But yet you never hear this on the radio or TV. It's amazing. It's almost unbelievable that it's not being reported.
Right. So Chris, just on average, and we'll come back to this. We have some callers with some important issues they want to raise, and we've got a whole lot of things to talk about. So appreciate you clearing your schedule to be with us this whole hour. But
sure.
Chris, between you and your colleagues working at this, those you've counseled, does it number in the tens, in the hundreds, in the thousands when you're giving this anecdotal evidence?
Well, personally, over three years, I've counseled at least 100 persons through group and individually.
Mm-hmm.
As far as our work collectively with the International Healing Foundation, we've been around for over 20 years, and through our colleagues and who are both, you know, domestic and abroad, we've counseled tens of thousands of individuals and families. And
you find overwhelmingly that the same five or six characteristics are present in the vast bulk of the people you're counseling.
Absolutely, Dr. Brown. 99% of the clients, I could sit down with a client for 2 hours and pinpoint why they experience same-sex attractions. The causes are so typical.
Yeah.
But it's not, again, it's not being reported.
Yeah, it's not being reported. It needs to be reported. And that's one reason we're doing this broadcast. All right. Stay with us, those on the phone. We will put you on with Chris to ask your very important questions. And friends, I got this email today from a woman in Britain who was born with ambiguous sexual genitalia. Was she male? Was she female? Turns out she's female, but she went through all these struggles. She said, I got a hold of a copy and read your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with interest. I was determined to disagree, believing it would be more lying spew from a hysterical fundamentalist Christian homophobe. I am grown up and reasonable to admit I was wrong. It was a very reasoned defense of human rights for all. Me, I'm a middle-aged British socialist materialist brought up in a very skeptical humanist anti-theist atmosphere, and she's saying she was wrong about my book. Friends, it's critically important that you get a hold of A Queer Thing Happened to America. And we have chapters that deal with the science and deal with the issue of whether people can really change. The book with postage is over $30, but here's what we're doing. $30 postage paid for the hardcover, almost 700 pages long, and we'll give you free with that a $20 DVD of my debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. 1-800-278-9978. This is a resource offered by phone only, so call today, 1-800-278-9978. Critically important, life-changing resources, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today is Christopher Doyle, resident clinical professional counselor with the International Healing Foundation. He holds an MA. The website is Coming Out Loved, with a D at the end, comingoutloved.com. If you've got a question for me or for my guest, 866-34-TRUTH. Chris, I want to grab some phone calls with you.
Sure.
And then we will get to the important issues about SB 1172, the California legislation that I've talked about already on the air, but you've written on it, and we need to understand what's happening today. First, an anonymous caller from Mary. All right. Let me ask a question on behalf of a caller. First gave a name and then didn't even want to give a name and now hasn't even stayed on the air, which shows you the stigma that we're dealing with. A caller from Maryland, concerned about her son, and I don't have all the details because I was just looking what she had told us so far, but let's assume we're dealing with a mom or a dad. You've got a 15-year-old kid who comes out. Your son says, "Mom, Dad, I'm gay." How do you respond to that? First, what would you tell the parents in terms of how they should respond? And then second, if you were pointing them towards resources or what your organization could do, what would you do from there?
Well, I think it's first important to understand what the values are of that particular family and of the child. I think one of the greatest, what I would say, crimes that we see going on right now is that California, through their legislation, is essentially telling families that they should or should not have certain beliefs about homosexuality.
Right.
And they're taking away the options of families such as this, a family in Maryland, that could need certain options. So I think you need to know what their values are. If the family does not believe that same-sex attraction or homosexual life is the best choice for their child, and the child agrees that he or she does not want to be gay, then I think it's reasonable to explore therapeutic options to help that child understand what's going on within their sexuality and seek help for that.
But how do they respond? Let's say it's a conservative Christian family, all right? And the kid comes out and says, "Mom and Dad, I'm gay, and this is who I want to be." What should their first response be in dealing with that kid? They're a conservative Christian family, and they believe that this is not God's best for their child, and that this is not how God created that child to be. Should they say, "You're going to hell"? Should they say, "You change," or "We put you out of the house"? Should they say, "Hey, whatever choice you make, we totally back you"? How should they respond? Just the first lines that should come out of their mouths to that kid.
"Thank you for having the courage of telling me that. I love you no matter what," would be a great response.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, Dr. Brown, the parents are the last ones to know.
Right.
So I think that the fact that that child came to the parents, it shows a great level of trust with the parents that the child is actually having some sort of crisis and probably seeking help or guidance. You know, it's interesting, the research shows, contrary to our beliefs, that the most important role models we tend to think them to be rock stars or sports athletes, but actually the research shows the most important role models are parents and teachers. And so oftentimes if a child comes out to a parent or teacher, they're actually looking for answers. They're looking for truth.
Yeah, and Chris, especially if that kid knows how they've been raised, their mom and dad think, that the first thing that he needs to hear from them is "You're safe with us and we love you, period. You're our son and you're always going to be our son." For that to be reaffirmed, he understands they believe it's wrong. They could say, "You understand we don't believe this is God's best for you, but you're our son, you're safe here, we love you no matter what." Let that be reinforced as the foundation for everything that follows. What about biological factors that may contribute to this? Come on, maybe we're just going down a dead end looking for other answers.
Oh, It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, when I'm on the road and I happen to bring up issues having to do with gay activism and the changes taking place in our society for the negative through gay activism, invariably people want to come up to me and talk about a family member with same-sex attraction or a spouse that's left because of a gay relationship, or others will come up to me with a broad smile talking about how they've been changed. These are issues that we must address, and we must not only deal with the wrong of gay activism, but with the fact that there are gay men and women, like every other human being, hurting, in need, broken, and as followers of Jesus, needing the love of God and needing an arm around their shoulder, affirming them and giving them hope as they do seek to really know God and experience His transforming love. Yet the whole scientific profession, the psychological, psychiatric profession, has been so politicized. I'm going to come back to my guest, Christopher Doyle, in one moment. Your calls at 866-34-TRUTH. But Dr. Nicholas Cummings, former president of the American Psychological Association, has commented on how things change when gay activists began to put forward their agenda. Dr. Cummings still believes it's fine for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. In other words, he's not holding to all the same beliefs I would have. All right, Dr. Cummings is in his 80s, highly respected senior figure in the psychiatric, psychological profession. Here's what he said happened in terms of the development as gay activists began to get involved trying to push psychologists and psychiatrists to look at homosexuality differently.
Political stances seem to override any scientific results. Cherry-picking results became the mode. And the gay rights movement sort of captured the APA.
Ah. And then what about the subject of diversity? Listen to Dr. Cummings' comments about that.
It became part of the movement for what one might call diversity. You want to bring all underrepresented peoples into psychology. And this is a very lofty idea on the surface of it. But when it becomes a bias, if I had to choose now, I would see a need to form an organization that would recruit straight white males, which are underrepresented today in the APA.
Amazing. He's saying the APA, American Psychological Association, as well the American Psychiatric Association, is completely non-diverse when it comes to the subject of same-sex attraction. Chris, I want to get to some important calls with personal and broader questions, but you have a major article coming out. You've co-authored for the Journal of Human Sexuality, where you analyze a task force report by the American Psychiatric Association. The media was all over it when it came out and then reported in exaggerated terms that change therapy is always harmful and so on. What can you tell us, just in a nutshell? I want readers to get the whole report when it comes out, but in a nutshell, what can you tell us about that bias in the APA task force, especially on the heels of Dr. Cummings' comments?
Sure, and I think I was actually in attendance of the convention of NARTH when Dr. Cummings spoke a couple of years ago about that,
yes,
about this issue. But essentially, the APA, the American Psychological Association, wrote this report in 2009, and it was basically supposed to be a objective review of the literature of whether or not people could change or whether change was harmful or effective. And the conclusions of the task force came back with, well, we don't really know. There's not really conclusive evidence to say that. But what has happened is political organizations have taken the conclusions of that task force and distorted them into saying things that actually are not supported by their report or the research.
Now, Chris, just to jump in, most of the people involved in the task force themselves were gay, some gay activists.
Correct.
All leaning in that direction. And although they discouraged change therapy, they did say that there's no conclusive evidence that it produces harm. And of course, as I said, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, all six members of the task force were either gay themselves or gay-affirming therapists, and they not only discouraged the use of what we call sexual orientation change effort therapy, but they did so without actually including all of the literature that shows that people can change. So they actually did exclude several important scientific research articles in that report.
Yep.
There was many, many flaws. It would take me 3 hours to tell you about all the flaws.
Yeah, obviously so.
Essentially, they cherry-picked the research, and they did it to produce what they wanted to produce. And even when they tried to produce that, which was saying that sexual orientation change efforts were harmful, they couldn't do that. So
exactly.
It's amazing that they couldn't, even with a stacked deck of activists on that committee, they still couldn't say that this type of therapy was harmful, but nonetheless, it's still being used by activists to make legislation in California and to make this type of therapy illegal.
All right. Yeah. And friends, those that really want to dig into this, there's a lot of information. I deal with it in A Queer Thing Happened to America. And then Chris, co-author, who is your other author on the report?
The other author is actually the lead author is Dr. James Phelan, who is a highly respected scholar on the subject, and also Arthur Goldberg of Jonah.
Wonderful, excellent. All right, let's go to the phones. Raj in Vienna, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much for shedding a lot of light on this very important subject. I would like, however, to point to another aspect which has been neglected. I say neglected with a lot of concern and a lot of passion.
Mm-hmm.
We are wonderfully made. There's not merely a neuropsychological aspect to us, but there's a neurophysiological. There are delicate endocrine balances, also known as hormone problems. These are being neglected by the medical profession, and I hold them accountable, because the limits they use on our blood test results are set at 2 standard deviations above and below the mean, so that people can be with low endocrine levels and yet not be recognized by the medical profession as clinically needing help. This is an enormous problem. Endocrine dysregulation is a pandemic.
Mm.
Directly responsible for intersexual developmental disorders, even for the embryo, the baby growing up in the mother's womb, if there are imbalanced endocrine systems in the mother.
Now, this Raj,
National Academy of Sciences.
Yeah, let me just jump in, because we've got a break coming, and I want to get a response from Chris. Raj, I wish I had an hour to listen more to you about this, but let me just get a response from Chris first, and then maybe we can interact further. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think he does bring up an important point. I think there are imbalances with hormonal and hormones with some babies that are born. I'm not exactly sure exactly how this relates to same-sex attraction, because there's been essentially a lot of studies, some of them on the hormonal development, that are trying to link that with homosexuality, and those studies really haven't panned out so much. But I do think it is an issue, and I think that probably some of the intersex types of abnormalities that we see with perhaps ambiguous genitalia and things like that. I think that's probably why we're seeing those things. And it's a very small minority, a tiny percentage of babies that are being born. But I do think that that is an issue that is probably one of the reasons for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the response, Chris. Raj, would you be kind enough, when you have time, to go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire for today's show. And in the comments, if you could just give us some links that are relevant to studies regarding this, I would really appreciate it. Wish I had more time to chat with you, but, sir, thank you for the call and the contribution. Chris, We will get back to a few more calls in the time that we have, so folks, stay with us. I'm not sure if you followed the case in England. Rhea Cooper: I was born a boy, became a girl, and now I want to be a boy again. Britain's youngest sex swap patient to reverse her sex change. She started going through sex change at 17, now 18, saying, well, it's actually he, wants to be a he again. Chris, it points to the fact that there are deeper issues and that the problem that this person is experiencing is not going to be fixed by surgery and hormonal therapy, but by getting to the root of this individual's problems. Let's pray for this young man to find wholeness in Jesus and in every level. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, an hour goes by very quickly because of all the issues there are to deal with. And we're just talking about individual needs. We're talking a little bit about laws and society as a whole, but focusing on individual needs with my guest, Christopher Doyle. If you have a question for Chris and we run out of time today, you can reach him through his website, the International Healing Foundation, of which he's a part, at comingoutloved.com. Chris, I want to get to a couple more calls as I'm looking at some of the needs here on the from our callers. It represents what you deal with all the time and why you deal with it. So let's go to Melissa in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a 13-year-old son who is an incredibly deep thinker, and for the past 2 years, he's been coming to me with such a heavy heart saying, Mom, when I see this boy, I have a weird feeling. And he's like, I know I'm not gay. I know I'm not gay, Mom, but I just have this weird feeling. And he, you know, comes to me repeatedly with this, and I say to him, no, you are made in the image of Christ. You know, God has such great plans for you. You're going to marry a beautiful wife and have children someday. And, you know, this is just your body going through changes and hormones, and, you know, you don't need to worry about this, you know, because he'll just obsess on it. And I'm just curious, one, is this something that I need to be concerned about? I've raised my children following the Bible since they were in the womb. So we trust God's word. And two, you know, is there something else I can be saying to encourage him that he's totally normal and, you know, nothing's wrong with him and he's just experiencing different emotions or thoughts?
Well, thank you for your call. Is it Linda? I'm sorry.
Melissa.
Yeah. You know, what's going on is when children go through puberty, they experience lots of feelings, as you say. And what we find that is when young men, such as your son, start to have sexual feelings for other boys, sometimes this is the indication of they haven't completely gone through the bonding that young men go through when they're kind of pre-pubertal, meaning they haven't really successfully bonded with guys their age, and perhaps there might be some bonding that didn't occur with the boy's father. I don't know what your family situation is.
Well, I will just tell you that my husband is extremely involved, coaches, you know, all the sports. My 13-year-old is extremely athletic, very popular, American Legion Award. I mean, he's just this amazing kid. So, you know, the bonding thing, that would not be this situation. I mean, he's got more guy friends than you know. I've got 20 kids at my house on the weekend playing football, you know.
Well, Melissa, if your son is securely attached to his father and he's securely attached to his guy friends, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think that at the heart, at least with the clients that I see, that same-sex attraction is oftentimes a detachment from the same gender. And unless there's something going on that we don't know, such as sexual abuse or something else going on, I don't personally see you know, the development of SSA. But what I would encourage you to do is to have Dad be real present in these conversations. In fact, I would encourage Dad to be talking to your son about these issues.
Okay.
Because oftentimes what happens is the son goes to the opposite gender parent because they're afraid that the same gender parent might think less of them or might shame them for them. And what in the reality is that the boy, your son, needs to go to Dad and really talk about these issues with Dad to help him to get, you know, the guidance from the masculine point of view and not go to the feminine.
Well, you made a point. You made a point. I'd like to ask this just real quick. I know you have a lot of callers, but this is.
Yeah, we've just got about a minute left before we got to cut off. So, real quick, go ahead, Melissa.
At 2 years old, he was sexually abused in a bathroom at a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no penetration or anything like that, but there was very inappropriate behavior in a bathroom stall at 2 years old.
Right. Well, what I would do is I would encourage you to contact me, or I do distance therapy, and we can discuss this issue further with your family. But there's certainly an issue of sometimes what we see is homosexual imprinting from a very young age. And this could be an issue with your son. I wouldn't be able to tell you accurately without having a more in-depth conversation. But I think the fact that you're aware of this and that your family's intact dealing with this issue, I think that's a really good sign, and that healing for this issue can certainly be achieved. I went through sexual abuse. I overcame it in my life. I'm happily married with a wife of 6 years and two kids. So I know that the same can happen for your son.
Yeah, and Melissa, keep affirming the faith statements you're giving. Again, if you don't have the info, you can continue this dialogue with Chris and all of you we haven't gotten to. I'm happy to continue speaking with folks in the next hour once Chris is gone, but that will not give you Chris's expertise. So you can reach him at Coming Out Loved. That's with a D, comingoutloved.com. Melissa, thank you for the call. And Chris, I need you to send me a fresh link to the Christian Post article. I'll put it on my Line of Fire website and on my Facebook pages, because we didn't even get to that. Now, the good news is I've covered that a lot on the air, and we were able to draw on areas of expertise and experience that you have. So, Chris, thanks for doing what you do. I know the flack that you get, the hatred that comes your way, and the mockery just for being who you are. So continue to stand strong. We need folks like you on the front lines with compassionate professional help for individuals and families struggling. May the blessing of God be on your family. And send me that link, and we'll get it posted in the next hour. All right, God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I appreciate it. And visit our website at Coming Out Loved for more information.
All right, you got that, friends. ComingOutLoved.com. Friends, in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, not only do I talk about what's happening in our children's schools, stuff you need to know about, the loss of religious freedoms, the rewriting of the Bible, but I also deal with the question of, can people really change? And has there been a shutdown of scientific evidence that says change is possible? The Queer Thing Happened to America, one of the most critically important books you'll ever read. And many of you still don't have it, or if you have it, you know a friend that needs it. So this is a great day to order. $30 postage paid, not just for the book, but also we'll give you with that free my two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox on a Christian response to homosexuality, where we model a gracious Christian response to these questions. Call right now to order, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time. You can't do this online. We just have this offer for today. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today: don't believe everything the media tells you about same-sex attraction. There are plenty of people who have changed, and all things are possible with God. Sometimes as followers of Jesus, we focus in on one or two moral cultural issues. What are the greatest issues facing America today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. What do we need to really look at in America today? If you picture America as a physical body with wounds and diseases and injuries, what's the most pressing? What's the worst? What is the most urgent? I'm not talking right now about church-related issues primarily. Of course, we relate to every area of society. But just looking at America, even in ways that secular American would agree with, if you were giving me your list of what's the biggest issue, biggest crisis, is it the economy? Is our relationship with other nations? Is it our debt? Is it the slaughter of the unborn in the womb? What's the number one issue that is affecting the well-being and the potential future of America? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Wednesdays on this broadcast, we normally focus on the world, meaning moral and cultural issues. And the number to call where you can weigh in is 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And I'm not going to ask you for a list of 10 items. But when you look at America with concern, yeah, obviously our lack of God consciousness is number one, is the strongest issue. And I talked about that yesterday and how we've departed from gospel foundations in the church and the effect that it's had on the society as a whole. But specifically, when you're just looking at America, say, as a result of our lack of God consciousness, when you're looking at America, just even through secular eyes, if you had to say, okay, number one thing has to be fixed, and I'm just going to draw a list. If you have one or two items or even top three, that's fine. But just one, I'm curious to see what you feel is the greatest issue. Is it racial divide? Are there other issues? Now, I'm going to be taking calls and giving you my thoughts on that as well. Last hour, I had Christopher Doyle on with me. He's a therapist, a counselor with the International Healing Foundation. He himself is a former homosexual. And we were talking to family members, parents, others who had concerns about issues with their own kids and things they were dealing with. We ran out of time, and because this is obviously an issue of concern, gay activism on the one hand, but then lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender identified people as people loved by God, as wanting acceptance and affirmation, wholly apart from the issues of gay activism. How do we deal with these things? What's happening in our schools? What's happening in our families? So I want to take a few more calls, folks that have held over from last hour. I'm happy to take calls on this issue as well, but we're going to focus on the question of your list. What does the president, our next president, whether it's Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, what does our next president need to focus on and fix? What are the priorities or what must be fixed beyond the president in our nation? What gives you gravest cause for concern? Just do a little survey, 866-348-7884. First, let me go to Ray in Houston, Texas. Thanks, Ray, for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. My son is 13, and He recently told me that, you know, he's gay. He said he's had these feelings since he was very young. Your author that you had on last hour, he said something that really keyed for me. My son has always been very sensitive. He takes everything to heart. So, I mean, if you just, like, made a comment like, oh, that's dumb, he was in the corner crying. You know, he's just really, really sensitive kid. And he's always been an efficient.
All right, so the question is how to deal with the situation of a sensitive 13-year-old son who said, hey, I've always had these same-sex attractions. Ray, stay right with us, but I wanted to put that question out so our listeners can be ready when we come back.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, we need a moral and cultural and spiritual revolution. We don't just need little positive change in the right direction. We need revolutionary change, radical change, and it's going to come from God's people awakening and bringing that change through the gospel to our society. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Getting your thoughts on the number one greatest issue in America today, not necessarily from a spiritual perspective, but if you're just analyzing the country, the greatest issue, the greatest need, the greatest problem, that which could most clearly lead to the downfall, the complete downfall of our nation, or the most critical thing that must be addressed, what would be number one or number two on your list? Sandy and Dee, you'll be up first. I want to get to your survey results. Others, we've got one line open, 866-348-7884. But I want to finish some conversations hanging over from the last hour that I think are relevant for everyone listening. So, Ray, thanks so much for holding. First, I'm assuming that you're a follower of Jesus. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
All right.
That's a real big concern for me, because my fear, here's what happened. He told me that he's prayed over this, and the feelings didn't go away, and so now he wants to give up his faith in Christ, because prayers don't work.
Right. So for those that just tuned in, Ray's 13-year-old son, and folks, let's be praying for this young man. Always been very sensitive, which is an extremely common characteristic of men with same-sex attraction, as many counselors would tell you. And as long as he's remembered having romantic or sexual attractions or feelings, it's been to the same sex. And he's a believer. He prayed. The feelings didn't go away. So now he's questioning being a believer, because in his mind, Ray, this is who he is. He knows that. And if Jesus right. didn't change him, maybe this Jesus thing is not real, or it's not for me. So the most important thing first is for you to make him feel totally safe with you as a dad. That's number one. Recognizing how sensitive he is as a kid, and to affirm him as he's your son no matter what, and you love him and he's special. And then also you really believe God has a wonderful plan for his life. And the big focus now should not be on trying to change his sexual feelings. You know, that would be like for you and me to try to be attracted to the same sex. You can't just try to do that. Of course, we wouldn't want to. So for him, you know, he prayed for change. It didn't happen. What you need to encourage him to do is to be holy, to say, look, we know that Jesus wants us to be holy, and he made us for that. And let's believe that he has something very special for you, and he's made you and shaped you for a specific purpose. And I would encourage you, since you didn't get to talk to Chris on the phone, do you have a pen to jot a number down?
Yeah, hold on a second. I did take down his website, but
if you go to the website and click contact us, you can do so by email or by phone, and it's at least worth pursuing, looking at. They've got questions, they've got other resources there, and of course there are other ministries and organizations that help in these areas, but you've heard from Chris, it would be good to go to his website. So I just want to give you that basic encouragement, number one, to show him unconditional love, number two, affirm that God has a wonderful plan for him, and number three, to encourage him not to be focusing right now on trying to change his sexual attractions, but let him know God can do anything. What you are required to do is be holy. You don't want him to start to fantasize or search the web, you know, and next thing he's involved in gay porn or something like that. So you want to encourage him to be holy and that God has something special for him, and let him know that he's safe with you. And then from there, there are folks that I'm sure would be able to provide further help. So if you go to that website, click contact us there. You can do it by phone. You can do it by email. And the good news is, Ray, there are plenty of kids who are just where your son was at 13 that are happily married and heterosexual, living blessed lives in the Lord. But friends, let's be praying for Ray and his son for the full blessing of God to come their way. Thanks, sir, for calling and sharing that with us. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. One more call that's very relevant in terms of what's happening in America, and then we'll begin our survey of the greatest issues that you think are facing us. Often, if you're hearing from me, you're not hearing a lot about the economy. It's a big issue. And our national debt, I mentioned it the other day, it's a big issue, but that's not been a focus for me, and it's not an area where I have a lot of expertise, all right? There are many other areas of importance in our country that I don't either have expertise in or a burden in. You'll hear from me about abortion. You'll hear from me about gay activism. You'll hear from me about America's relationship with Israel. You'll hear about other issues of sexual purity, etc. But these are by no means all the issues that are out there. They're areas of importance in the Word. They're areas that I have particular burdens for, expertise in ministry. But there are many, many other issues. 866-34-TRUTH. And again, I've been saying this at the beginning of every hour. I failed to do it at the beginning of this hour. But for those who have been affected by Hurricane Sandy, like my own family on Long Island, we are united together with you for complete recovery, restoration. And those who've lost loved ones, let's really be praying for God's grace to intervene in the midst of these horrible losses. Okay, back to the phones. Jean in New Rochelle, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Yes, I'm calling and thanking Ray for his courage and his transparency. And I'm calling to alert parents, actually, to what's going on in the schools, as you do, and you bring out in your book, The Queering of America. If there is a Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network, GSA, Gay Straight Alliance, in your child's middle school or high school, they are learning at a very, very young age that this is normal. And if, because of diversity training that teachers have to go through, if a young child is confused, and many are at that age normally,
yes,
and they go to counselors, they will be told that this is normal. Mm-hmm. I attended one of these Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network conferences called Pride Works that we have here in our where I live, and they will actually tell your children not to tell parents if your parents are religious or if you think that they won't accept mm-hmm. your quote-unquote coming out. I know this for a fact. I heard this with my ears. So parents who are concerned about your children with these feelings, and that's what they are, be aware of what's going on in the schools and be proactive about that.
Yeah, Jean, your warning needs to be sounded across the airwaves of America on every station,
not just
these stations. The fact is these GSAs, these Gay Straight Alliances, are now in middle schools.
Yes, they are.
You know, our oldest granddaughter is 11, turning 12 in January, and she's an innocent little girl, and she's raised in the Lord, a godly kid. And when I realized, wait, she's in middle school now. She goes to a Christian school. She's in middle school. And there are middle schools in America, an increasing number, with gay straight alliances. And most parents don't know they exist. And if they know they exist, it's just for some kids somewhere to find a safe place. Well, look, they come out to their peers there, and they can come out to teachers there. And it's understood, you don't tell the parents, especially if the parents are going to disagree. That would be unsafe or unhealthy for the kid. And there have even been instances with gay straight alliances that then connect with the larger gay society where you'll have 20-year-olds involved with 14-year-olds. And I mean, these things are happening. There is an aggressive gay activist agenda in our schools. If I had the power to press a button and just deposit in the brains of every American what I wrote about the school system and A Queer Thing Happened to America, I would do it. So, Jean, yes, parents need to know what's happening. And the other thing you mentioned is that kids go through a lot of uncertainty. I just read a report in the last hour about a 17-year-old in England that everyone was hailing this courageous young man who's now a young woman, was in the process of going through sex change and hormones and therapy and was on the way to full sex change surgery. And they all call this person by a girl's name, Rhea. Now Rhea says, I'm more depressed as a woman. I want to go back to being a boy. I was a boy and I became a girl. I want to go back to being a boy. These people need help, not sex change surgery and hormonal therapy the rest of their lives. And surveys have indicated, Gene, that about 25% of young teenagers question their sexual orientation. But if you check with them 10 years later, it's about 3%. So we must be aware this is a critical issue. Gina, I'm out of time, but thank you for the call very much. Parents, be aware. You cannot stick your head in the sand. These are critically important issues for this generation. Will we get involved, do the right thing? Oh, yes, show unconditional love to our kids. But stand up for what is morally and spiritually right. Again, Gene, thank you for the call. We come back. What are the principal biggest issues we're facing in America today? We'll be taking your call. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. When you read books like Isaiah the first chapter, the nation of Israel, people of Judah in particular, are pictured as a body that is wounded and bruised, bleeding, sick from head to toe. And if you look at America in similar terms, if we were giving a medical diagnosis, medical, spiritual, moral diagnosis, you get my drift, and we were saying, okay, what are the biggest wounds? What are the biggest problems? What are the biggest issues? What is the most critical disease in America? Would it be our massive debt to China? Would it be some type of decline in another area of society? Would it be our education system? Would it be abortion? In other words, when you look at it that way, you might see a lot of different areas of concern. So what's on the top of your list? If you were saying, okay, we need to address this, and here are the big, this is what concerns me the most. This is what I see as the biggest problem. What would it be? 866-34-TRUTH. Sandy in Sarasota, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call. I love your show. Thank you for being a voice of reason and hope in this vast wasteland of America right now. My biggest concern is the moral decay of this society and really all of society. You see it in Europe, you see it all over. There's so much sexual immorality, and it's like, it's just a common accepted thing that people, you know, have sex outside of marriage, have babies outside of marriage, and it's just so troubling, and it shows up in every facet of our society.
So the larger moral decline has an impact on every area of life.
It does. You can see it, and the economy. You can see, you know, how many people are on welfare, how many single mothers there are, and you know, it's just so scary and troubling to me. And I mean, I'm hoping and praying that Mr. Romney will get in to help with the economy side, but you know, we've got to make people see that all this sexual immorality is not good and it's not right.
Got it. Hey, Sandy, thank you for the call. May I ask how old you are? Do you mind sharing that?
I'm 57 years old.
All right, same as me. All right, just gives a perspective on how we look at things. All right, Sandy, thank you so much for the call and for the very kind words about the broadcast. I do appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. D in High Point, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you for having me. My comment kind of fits into what the last caller was saying a bit, but I was listening to the man who has the son that's battling with homosexuality and things. I just believe that we don't have enough education and teaching for young people on relationships. And I say that to say the relationships lead to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for people to even know how to have a relationship with the opposite sex. A long time ago when I was in school, I did a paper on that issue, and it was through some of the research I found out that like 97% of the people in our world will decide to marry. I don't know what the statistics are today, but that's been a few years back, and that's what it was. The sad thing is that there is no teaching on it at an early age. And now we don't have really families that are together. So there's not a good examples that are showing up in a lot of people's lives. And it's just like, okay, I can be with this person and I can be with that person and I can use my body for different things. You know, we're not keeping the body holy or sacred.
Yeah.
We're just doing whatever. And there's not good examples set for our children on, well, if I was to desire a relationship with someone else, how do I do that? I mean, how do I go about it? And we see from the man that was calling about his son, it's the human God-given desire. So it doesn't go away. The desire to be with someone, it just doesn't leave you. Some people are born eunuchs. You know, I think the scriptures testify to that, and
right.
I believe that. We don't have many people speaking out on it today, but there's just not enough education to teach people how to have a relationship and how that relationship leads to a good marriage and
a
long-lasting
indeed.
Marriage.
Yeah, just to jump in, not only are you right about the lack of examples, because kids are raised in so many broken homes and dysfunctional homes, and we have the fruit of the counterculture revolution, the sexual revolution of the 60s, where sex became associated more with recreation than procreation. But the other factor is what kids get through the media. When I was growing up, families would watch shows together like Leave It to Beaver or Father Knows Best. And we thought those shows were just great. Fine, we didn't watch it and think, you gotta be kidding me. Whereas now, if you think of what kids watch and the type of families and households they're exposed to in the media, which tends to exaggerate what's happening in the culture, what are they going to do? How are they going to know better? So again, our first two callers, moral decline in general, breaking down on the family and right relationships, fundamental illnesses in that sense in our society that need remedy. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm going to get to every one of your calls, everyone holding. I'm going to be getting to your calls on the other side of the break. And let me say this, friends. Here, I'm looking at a letter that was sent to me earlier today by a woman who said she's a middle-aged British socialist materialist brought up in a very skeptical, humanist, anti-theist atmosphere. Got my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. She said she was determined to disagree, believing it would be more lying spew from a hysterical fundamentalist Christian homophobe. She said, oh, I'm wrong. And look at what she said. She said, I also had a mom and a dad. And that is why I know that one man and one woman relationship is the best atmosphere to raise any child, because the sexes complement one another, where two men or two women, no matter how loving, cannot. And she had her own sexual identity issues growing up that she talks about in her letter to me. Friends, we have lost our sense of right and wrong, of what is best, of male, female, even those distinctions. If you've not yet gotten my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, it is critically important. You really cannot afford not to read it with what's happening in our society and coming away from the schools to the laws to your religious freedoms. We're giving, with that book today, free my two-hour video debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. $30 postage paid for the book, 700-page hardcover, and the video. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Boy, during a break, just hearing from family out on Long Island through my wife, Nancy, trying to get into the neighborhood where my mom lives. We were able to get her out of that neighborhood before Hurricane Sandy hit, but they can't even get into it. Roads are inaccessible. So for those still in the midst of the trauma of Hurricane Sandy, we are in this together, and we'll pull through this together, and many are praying for you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, thank you so much for taking time to be with me on the air today. Isaiah is rebuking his own people in Isaiah 1:4, speaking for the Lord. This is God speaking through the prophet. Ah, sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. And then look at this picture. Verse 6 of Isaiah 1, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. And now from that metaphor of a sick body and a wounded, broken body, back to a physical picture that was more literal than metaphorical. Verse 7, your country is desolate, your cities burn with fire, your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when one overthrown by strangers. If Isaiah the prophet was looking at America today and analyzing the greatest issues and needs with our country, the sickness, the wounds, what would he say? Some callers addressed the issue in the last half hour of general moral decline or decline in just family relationships. What would you put at the top of your list? I've focused on a few issues with my ministry and calling, but there are many other issues. What would you focus on? Let's start with Faye in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello,
hello.
Faye, are you there? Yes, you're on the air, Faye.
Oh, okay, thank you. I wasn't sure if you were talking to me or not, someone else waiting. I just wanted to reiterate what the topic of today is. The family is under great attack today, and the current political campaign going on now, the candidate in my district, the 5th district here in North Carolina, we have a candidate who has and all the publicity that's in our local papers about her candidacy and in the brochures that she has to write out about her candidacy, she does not divulge her true position on the same-sex marriage issue that we had on our ballot back in the May for same-sex marriage here in North Carolina. She is for same-sex marriage. I saw her name in the newspaper, in our local newspaper, for a petition for a gay rights parade back earlier this year. Her name is Elizabeth Motzinger, and I just wanted to alert the voters here in, you know, within the 5th District of North Carolina that they need to be aware that Elizabeth Motzinger will not be a person that we can count on to support the any legislation that may come before Congress that would be for family, because she not only is for homosexual marriage, she is also for abortion. And neither one of those issues are mentioned in any of her campaign literature. So people need to be aware of her position.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that information. Friends, check into it for yourselves to verify what Faye is saying. But hey, if that's who you are, then come out and say it clearly. And one of the issues I know troubling to many is that political leaders say what people want to hear in order to get elected. And then when elected, you sometimes find out who they really are. Hey, let's put the cards on the table. Let's be who we are. And if people believe in that, they vote for us. And if they don't, they don't. All right, we'll be back with your call. Stay with us.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm going to talk about some things that we can do about the pressing problems in our society, but just want to hear from you in terms of your list. When you look at things in America and say, okay, this is the most pressing issue. Now, yesterday I spoke more broadly about the greatest crisis in America is our lack of consciousness of God, and that ties back directly to our failure to preach and live out the gospel as followers of Jesus. But as we're looking at the society and analyzing the problems, the things that we consider to be the worst, the most urgent, where would you put your list? Where would you put the items on your list? 866-34-TRUTH. Mark in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thanks for having me. I think you're spot on. We have this lack of consciousness about to God and about God. All the callers are spot on. We have this moral decay that's going on in our culture, in our country, and I think that's due, for the most part, due to a lack of maybe philosophical inquiry. I like to call it. I think the battle for Christianity in the 21st century is going to be a battle of ideas. And if we're going to pinpoint one idea specifically, I would say naturalism, and how we just kind of have this lazy attitude when it comes to deep questions and deep thinking in our culture. We see this. We see it all over. You mentioned, the television shows that we watch nowadays. There are philosophical ideas behind them, and we don't think to address them.
Let me just jump in and ask you a question.
Sure.
The naturalistic mindset that underlies a lot of teaching in the schools and then the entertainment industry and other things in our society, is that a direct offshoot still of Darwinism? Is it right to make that connection?
Well, I think you could go that direction, but we don't necessarily have to, because Darwinism is a methodology for biology, which is a bit farther removed from naturalism. So we can make that connection, but we don't even have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So naturalism, I've got a lot of callers I want to get to,
sure,
but let's just take one, give me one example of how the presupposition of naturalism affects our children's education.
Well, if naturalism is true, if God or nothing really supernatural exists, we have serious problems for discussing, as you said earlier, right and wrong. Moreover, we have problems with really understanding what right and wrong mean if naturalism is true. And if we don't have any kind of basis for our morality, which is what a supernatural philosophy gives us, then morality becomes something of preference rather than what this program is dedicated to, truth.
Right, so ultimately, what you end up is with a moral relativism and even not just a moral relativism, but a truth relativism, which if it's true for me, and I'm not up on all aspects of the educational mindset in schools across America today, but I know that there are classes where if you're teaching geography, I'll give you a slightly exaggerated example. If you're teaching geography, it's almost like, how do you feel about this country on the map as opposed to here's where you find the country on the map? It all comes back to me and how I feel. Hey, Mark, thanks for weighing in on that. It is a foundational and pervasive issue. 866-34-TRUTH. Sharon in Raleigh, North Carolina wanted to weigh in on the issue of abortion. Of course, the shedding of innocent blood is always of massive importance. And you say, hey, well, America's still here, but look at the state that we're in and look at all the lives that are lost and look at where we are left in terms of our overall esteem for life. 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in Seminole, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I would say after 46 years of marriage, raising two sons in our church of 34 years now, being marriage mentors, being involved spiritually, physically, and, living a life, my husband and I, that I count every day a joy to serve him is the world has taken over our churches, and the things of the world, we are so comfortable here in our United States, and I admire those overseas that are fervent about the Lord as they wake up, as the Bible says, and go to bed, and as they walk, and they wear the scripture on their foreheads, as of old. We here in the United States, we need missionaries coming to us.
Yeah, and you know, Karen, in my book, How Saved Are We?, which I wrote in 1990, I documented then thousands of foreigners who had moved to America to be missionaries. Now, some were coming, say, Koreans coming to minister to Koreans in America. But others came. I met them from other nations, Africa, and said, yeah, the Lord sent me to America because America needs missionaries. That was over 20 years ago, and the need is even greater now. Isn't it wild? I mean, here we've been a key nation in sending missionaries around the world and financing missionaries around the world, and yet missionaries have been sent here. Calling not America in general, but the American church to awakening and repentance. Hey, Karen, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Amanda in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Boy, we're staying in North Carolina almost exclusively these minutes. What's on your mind, Amanda?
Hey, Dr. Brown. I'm calling because definitely I think that it is 100% a moral decay in our society, and I think a lot of it can be linked back to laziness as well. And I am a 30-year-old parent of two, and I just want to speak to those Christians out there who have children, because it starts in our homes, in our families, and we have got to educate our children, because my generation is so uneducated. There's such a push, and it has been for a long time, to demoralize our Judeo-Christian values in this country, and we have got to get back to that, because you know, a new president's not going to save our country.
Oh, no. And look, I was just asked by someone in our studio, have I finally decided where I'm voting? Well, I'm planning to vote for Mitt Romney, and if he is elected, I'll probably have an article that comes out either right before he's elected or right after, if he is, saying why Mitt Romney cannot disappoint me. It's basically because the very best he could do is still not good enough. That's number one, because it's not up to the president. But number two, I would expect him to gravitate a bit more towards the middle once he's actually in, and kind of show he's the president of all people and not want to be divisive by standing for certain issues that are important to us. But bottom line is we have to recognize on fundamental levels how we've lost sight of fundamental values. I'm looking at something from England, and it says, Brighton and Hove Council suggests axing Mr. and Mrs. labels as it, quote, offends transgender people. Brighton is known as the number one gay city in England, but when we had, for a short period of time, marriage redefined in California, they changed the marriage certificates there, and you had bride and bride on one side and groom on the other side. So, or excuse me, bride and groom on both sides. So you could have bride marrying bride, groom marrying groom. France now talking about getting rid of Mr. and Mrs. or father, mother, rather, on birth certificates, which Spain already did. You just have parent one and parent two. And as outrageous as these things are, getting rid of Mr. and Mrs., that's even the understanding of male and female has been under assault in our society. Just the most basic foundation. So the change comes in our own lives. And people say, what can I do? Well, we all have a circle of influence. You, I'm sure, have a circle of influence beyond your immediate family. But what a circle of influence that is to impact these two young lives and to be a godly example, a godly mom, and godly mom and dad setting an example, and kids being raised in a holistic way in the Lord. Hey, that's the role we can play. And the hope is that since believers, generally speaking, are having more children than the secular society on average, and abortion rates will be higher in the secular society outside of the church, at least hopefully they should be, we have the hope of really raising another generation that's going to think differently. But go ahead.
I was going to say, I think also as believers in Christ, we really need to focus on not being so politically correct. But mm-hmm. we have a saying in our church that we are focused on being biblically accurate because our world has become too PC. And as Christians, we have got to start standing up for our values.
You know, one thing that reminds me of when people ask me, do I believe in civil disobedience? I tell them I believe in biblical obedience. And that's like the biblically accurate. Let's do what the Word of God says with love, respect, and grace towards all, but refusing to bow down, capitulate, give in to what we know is right. All right, stay with us, Lisa, Clarence, you two are next.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about the great needs in America today, Wednesday. We focus on the world, moral, cultural issues tomorrow, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Friends, there are simple solutions to all the massive problems in our society, namely awakening in the church. It's really that simple. Awakening in the church will lead to positive transformation of society. That being said, the problems are massive, and without divine intervention, America will not be the country that we have known it to be at its best. 866-34-TRUTH. Lisa in Lexington, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. This is Lisa from Lexington, North Carolina.
Yes.
What I'm calling about is the homosexual thing that you got going on. I'm losing words. I'm
the homosexual agenda, yeah.
Right, that's it. And I was talking earlier to a person that was on there, and I was letting them know that this is a lot of people don't understand that this is a spirit and not a desire that God has given us, but it's a spirit that comes from the one place that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but the Bible speaks about it, and it tells us that Satan came to kill, steal, and to destroy. And this is one of the methods that he's using to destroy the family and destroy our life after the family. And I know because I've walked that pathway. And knowing that, I thought I was in the right. I thought this is what God would have me to be. I thought this was one of the desires he had given me. I had no idea it was a spirit. Until I went to the church that I'm losing my voice. I don't think they want me to get this, the enemy don't want me to get this message out. But anyway, they did deliverance on me, I became a different person, if you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, Lisa, how
deliverance.
Yeah, how long ago was that, Lisa?
Oh, now I have been free for the last 20-something years.
Wow.
The Lord
all
brought
right.
me out in 91. March of 91 is when he brought me out of it. And I went to this church around about 97. And I've been delivered ever since.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much for sharing that. And really, there are two issues, two major mm-hmm. issues. One is the issue of gay activism that
right.
is ultimately a tremendous threat to our freedoms of religion, freedoms of speech, mm-hmm. freedom of conscience, even mm-hmm. the way our kids are raised and things like that
right.
on the one
right.
hand. But then there are individual people, men and women just like you, loved by God, who struggle in certain areas. And look, I had on in the first hour a guest who is a therapist and counselor, and he experienced mm-hmm. healing in his own life in different areas and found his sexual desires changed when that
right.
happened. But at the same time, look, there are people who are addicted to drugs, and there's a demonic spirit involved. There are people
yeah.
who are violent, and there's a demonic mm-hmm. spirit involved. There are people who have same-sex attractions or who have heterosexual sex addictions, and a demonic spirit is involved. In your case, as you're testifying to it, there was demonic power when you were set free from that. You were changed. And at least folks need to know, they need to understand there is a gay activist agenda that is, it's already here pervasively through our society, and we need to be aware while at the same time reaching out with compassion to those with same-sex attraction. Lisa, thanks for calling and sharing that. Clarence in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Clarence from Denver. I believe that, you know, I agree with your last caller that if we have very many spirits, beguiling spirits. I think it's very prevalent in America that we somehow have the idea that God is all about making us happy.
Uh-huh.
And giving us whatever we want. If we're in alignment with Him, then we're happy. And if we're, you know, something's wrong, if we're not happy.
In other words,
it's not about servitude, you know, and obedience to the gospel. It's become an American happiness, part of the American dream.
Absolutely. And lest people misunderstand the point, yeah, I would rather that my friends and neighbors had a roof over their head and a comfortable bed to sleep in and adequate food and clothing and the ability to get an education. But the American dream, the idea that the whole goal is that my kids have a more comfortable life than I have and more material possessions than I had, and somehow that being bigger and better is actually the goal of it all, is very misleading. And it ties in with the narcissistic, self-centered, pleasure-seeking, all-about-me mentality that is so terribly pervasive in our society today. Some of our grads some years ago made these T-shirts, and one of them said, "The American dream must die." You think, what a terrible... No, no. What they meant was this whole thing, that the whole goal of our lives is to just self-improvement, bigger, better, more prosperous. What does that have to do with a moral life? What does that have to do with a godly life? What does that have to do with a life that makes a positive difference? Often, nothing. Often it's a distraction. So, Clarence, I'm with you. But that's a large underlying issue in America. Friends, I cannot underscore the importance of one particular issue that God's called me to focus on in recent years. It's the issue of gay activism and the church's response to homosexuality. And increasingly, it's the kind of issue where no one asks me, why am I involved with this now? They understand the need. The word God laid on my heart years back was reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion and resist the agenda with courage. And that's what we've been about all these years. And if you listen to me, I trust you'll hear that heart from me. The heart of God that says Jesus died for heterosexual and homosexual alike, shed the same blood, loves all people the same way, and has a better way. It is absolutely essential you get a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. It's a 700-page book with postage is over $30, but we're sending it out, postage paid $30, and giving you with it a two-hour debate I had with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. The debate will be eye-opening and so informative for you. And the book, if you're not a big reader, don't worry. You pick out the chapter you want to read about the media. You want to talk about the attack on religious rights. You want to read about what's happening in our kids' schools, rewriting in the Bible. The book, the DVD for free, we're paying the postage, $30 postage paid, but you have to call to place this order, 1-800-278-9978. If you already have the book, certainly you know the importance. Get another copy for a friend, and the DVD is a gift from us as well. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, America's massive problems are manifold. Moral, spiritual, economic, educational, you name it. The solution is simple. Awakening in the church.